Hey everyone, John here with End of Effort. It's been a minute since I've been on. I felt like I should do a live video for Facebook on this one. I was going to do just YouTube, and I'm doing a podcast as well simultaneously, but I just felt like this should be more of a live that I can translate into YouTube. So YouTubers, if you're hearing some feedback for the live, then just know that that's what's happening. So if you haven't already, please go ahead and search for us on YouTube. We're starting to post more videos. Just search for End of Effort channel, or you'll be able to see this live on Facebook, and then our podcast as well, End of Effort, if you search for it on iTunes. What I wanted to share with you today is, hey, Ray, Deborah, good to see you guys. It's been a little while, but it's really good to see you. I wanted to share some thoughts on a post I did earlier about really what it looks like to dwell in the present moment and draw all life-giving things to us when we are present. You know, I've mentioned this many times before, but it's worth repeating over and over because we have a tendency to forget. So do I. And living in the present means that not only is our full attention on the moment of who we're in front of, but present with ourselves, present with the Lord, of course, because we're one with Him. So that's always present. But we sometimes consciously we are not aware of what's going on. In other words, being the watcher of the now, being standing back and being an observer of the now, of the present moment that we're in. Oftentimes we're living in the past or the future because we want something better than what we have right now, and we're trying to escape a past that has been skewed or scarred. So keep in mind that we know this. We know this in theory. We know this in thought. We know this in word. We know this in deed. But Jesus is very real in our present moment. In other words, He doesn't dwell in our past. He doesn't dwell in the future. He is a real person by His Spirit living in us in the now. Okay? So it's worth just saying that elementary thing, because sometimes we forget because we're waking up in the morning thinking about the things of the past. It is habitual. It is with all of us that unless we train ourselves differently, we will wake up each morning with something that happened last night or something that happened 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And then we will dwell on it and dwell on it. And then we find ourselves grinding our teeth throughout the night and throughout the day, not even realizing how fidgety we are because of those nervous stress patterns neurologically. So think about it this way. God is helping us to reshape and repattern and retrain our thought processes. Now the grace is here to do it. He's helping us to wake up in the morning and begin to rethink some things. If grace and mercy are new every morning, which they are, then that means there's a freshness that's upon us that helps us and enables us. The grace of God enables us to be able to set a new pattern for the day and to continually train our minds that way throughout any given day. The power of that, guys, is astronomical. You know, the times that Amy and I have done this, and it's beginning to form more of a habit because we're practicing this more. I'm telling you, friends, that the more we practice living in the present moment, the more our needs are met. The more we get healed, the more our soul thrives and begins to grow in maturity like we've never known. When Jesus walked the earth, let me ask you a question. When Jesus walked the earth in human flesh, was He present or was He living in a past or a future tense? I think that's pretty obvious that we know that He was present because of the way He interacted with people. You can't interact that at that level with an anointing to heal and deliver if you're not present. That's just reality. That is the truth of the matter, that when love is present and has its attention on the given situation or the given person or the given moment at hand, then there's a full-blown reality of an anointing that's tangible. But when we're not, see, we wonder why in America that we don't see more miracles, more of the power of God show up, more accuracy in the prophetic. We wonder about the supernatural substance in America when it's happening overseas. Well, guess what? Overseas, because they focus on family and what matters at hand, oftentimes they're more present than we are as Americans or Westernized nations. You ever notice that? If you've been overseas, you will realize that, wait a minute, these guys are present with family. Amy and I have spent many years in and out of Hawaii, and I can tell you with the locals, they focus on the present with their families, loving them, being present in every moment, enjoying what's at hand. And because they are, love is manifested. You can feel it, you can taste it, you can see it tangibly in the atmosphere in Hawaii, and even more so in non-Westernized nations, because that's what they have to look forward to each and every morning. That is their substance every day, is the love of their family and being present with that. Listen, when you have to, when you don't have the luxuries of the West, then what you have is a tangible love for one another in relationship. And that is first and primary focused on God, the focus of God's heart, right? Somehow we've gotten it backwards in America, but that's okay. It's beginning to upright. It's beginning to change because God is stepping in to help us through our own humanity, through who we are, through who you are. And I think you can taste it, you can feel it, you can sense it, because religion isn't working anymore. It never has, but you can really see the tangibility of what's happening today in religion. You're like, oh my goodness, it is crumbling at every turn. 360 degrees, it is crumbling. So we keep pumping it up, and we keep, you know, trying to do what we know to do, because we're moving in the habits that we have formed over the years, right? But thankfully, there's a lot of people waking up. We are in a full-blown awakening. We are. And I've said this years ago, that we are in a full-blown awakening. It's just not the awakening that some of the evangelical world is or was hoping for, okay? And this awakening means that we are being present. And it means that we're becoming more aware of who Christ is in a non-religious sense. We're awakening to love. We're awakening to His overwhelming long-suffering and grace, His overwhelming forgiveness, His overwhelming presence of mercy. Did you realize, did you ever notice, did you take notice of your own life when you look in the mirror that mercy endures forever and ever and ever? It's not like mercy shuts off when you blow it or say something stupid or make a mistake or say something wrong to one of your beloved or your friends. It's mercy is enduring because it's eternal, and you're an eternal being, and so am I. And because we're eternal, mercy thrives in the eternal reality of who you and I are. And because it does, we wake up in the morning and we have the grace that splashes upon our psyche, splashes upon our mind, splashes upon our very being, that says, hey, this is a brand new morning and it's present. Jesus is in the presence. He's in the present. He's in the now. He's not in the future. There's no grace for the moment of the future that we find our minds in. Have you noticed that in your own life? You can be thinking years out saying, oh my goodness, the present, the promises that I've been promised over the years, the prophetic words and all the promises that have been given to me, I haven't come to fruition yet. Why? Because you are living too much in the future and too much in the past. If you were to train yourself to live in the moment, and ask God for the grace is already there, but if you have to, ask Him, God, thank you. Give me this day my daily bread of releasing the past so that I can live in the moment of a fresh new prophetic word, so that, because you are the prophetic word, you are the word, you are the very word, so that I can experience the reality of who you are right here and right now, so that I become the joy. I emit the joy. I emit it out of my own consciousness, out of my own soul, out of my own mind. I'm emitting it. And because I'm emitting it or transmitting it, therefore, all good things are ready and willing and waiting to come and attach themselves to me. But when we're in the future, when we're in the past, they elude us for a reason. See, religion is so good at teaching us how to strive for the future and to rebuke the past. Both of those, I would like to submit to you, are resistance. And when we throw out or we admit or we transmit resistance, what it does is it pushes the promises further away from us. But when we become pliable and a non-resistance, when we become the element and the expression and the stature and the state of the now or the presence, because we're living in joy. And do you ever notice that you don't have anything else but joy when you're living in the moment, when you're living in the presence? When we become that joy and we transmit that out into the atmosphere, guess what? Beautiful things begin to happen. They begin to attach themselves to us. Guys, this Christianity needs this so much. I'm telling you, we need to understand what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. Sight is, I am focused on what is in the future because I think it's going to be better for me. Sight is, I'm looking in the past because that's what I've known and I've tasted and experienced that. So my sight is remaining or stayed upon the past or the future because I don't like the present moment of who I am. There is never more love than there is right now in the moment, in the present moment, because Jesus lives in the moment in you. See, I'm not speaking on my own accord. I lean in and yield to the energy and the emotion and the power of Christ in me. Is it flawless? No, because it has to be filtered through John. But because it's filtered through John, without the religious boxes attached, I can be me. And when you're you and I am me in authenticity, Jesus is never more real. Man, that is so worth repeating. Somebody please comment on that quote. Because when I say something, it has a tendency to drift away, and then I forget because it was in the now moment. So if you can remember, I'll go back and we'll talk about that. It's kind of like giving prophetic words. People come up and ask me 2 years later, do you remember that word that you... No, I am sorry, I don't. I really... Because I was in the now, I was in the moment. And man, guys, the more I practice, the more we practice living in the present moment, because we are eternal beings from Alpha to Omega. We are eternal beings. Somehow, some way, we think that we have this short little life and that's it. But when we live in the juice of the moment, the juice of the now, the energy and the focus and the relaxation and the joy of the moment, you don't have issues. I don't have issues. The only time we have issues is when we dip into yesterday and we reach for tomorrow. That's when we begin to have these schisms and isms that say, you're not enough, or that say, am I ever going to add up? Or that say, am I ever going to see the dream come to fruition? Can I just tell you that the dream is already here? It's hovering above you. It's hovering in you. It's hovering around you. And it's 1 degree. It's 1 centimeter. It's 1 millimeter away from splashing into your life. And that's the tweaking. That's the adjustment of coming into the now and disciplining and training ourselves to live in the now without knowledge, guys. This has nothing to do with knowledge. Because that's the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And when we dip into that with our scripture knowledge and our university knowledge and our theological, doctrinal effigies and all of our accolades and all of our titles behind our name, then what we do is we expound on that which was instead of coming into the present moment where no amount of education is going to work because presence has no education attached. Have you noticed that? Presence comes in and begins to dismantle and disrupt those that believe they are educated enough to be an example for the crowd, to be an example for the congregation, to be an example, to show forth, hey, this is my knowledge, this is my wisdom, this is my revelation, this is my understanding. Does it appease you? Does it help you? Aren't you proud to see that I have PhDs and DTs and TTTs and BSs behind my name? Because therefore I'm credible. I have a credibility if I have those lengthy titles. But I have found something else, friends. I have found that living in the moment, living in the now, is more than enough wisdom and revelation to begin to transform a mind and a life that is open to childlike activity. You know, there's a reason why Jesus said, become like little children, for such is the kingdom. What he was doing is riding in on the donkey of an expression of the tree of life, saying that the tree of life requires no education. The tree of life requires none of your previous and past pains, hurts, wounds, and traumas, and education, trying to escape those things. And therefore, I'm riding gently and lowly upon a donkey of expression saying, hey guys, I see the phylacteries, I see the robes, I see the beauty of what you're trying to express through your indoctrination of religiosity, indoctrination of university, indoctrination of the edumacation of what you believe that people want to see and hear and know and be transformed by. Guys, the more I get into Jesus, the more I let go and let loose and sink into Jesus himself, which is the full-blown manifestation of love, the tangibility of the tree of life, the more my edumacation goes out the window. The more my scripture knowledge flies out the window. The more my tree of knowledge, understanding and gaining and all the knowledge and all of the, look what I've done through my university gathering, friends. The more that goes right out the window. Why? Not that that's bad or evil. Okay, please hear me. Not that your BS degrees, your BAs and your PhDs are evil. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is they were untrained and unlearned and uneducated disciples that have been transformed by the tangibility of presence walking by in the tree of life. And when the presence of full manifestation of unconditional love walks by and brushes you, you will throw your cap and gown to the wind to grab hold of something that your soul and your spirit know to be home, know to be true, know to be, yes, this is what I've always known to be reality. This is what I've always known to be true. This is what I've longed for. This is the transformation that is my bread and my portion. See, accolades and education and degrees want to be seen before man. And if we're honest about it, if we're really honest about it, friends, before God in heaven and man, we can say, you know, I spent a lot of money getting educated. I spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of neglect of the family and the grandkids and the kids, and a lot of time misappropriated. And although it was good for certain things, you know, I became a brain surgeon and I needed some edumacation so that I wouldn't slice somebody's brain in half. But But it was the nuances of the spirit of the tree of life in me that went in with precision and took out the cancerous cell that was 1 minute away from taking their life. Does anybody hear what I'm saying on this? Please hear my heart. Please hear his heart, more importantly, is that education is fine. It's okay. But don't let that be your end all to who you're associating with, to who you're gleaning from, and to whom you're expressing through in your own psyche and your own soul. I don't know why I went off on that, but I just got caught up in the moment to just, wow, that just went somewhere with the education piece. And I wasn't even planning that. But hey, you know what? We just yield into Christ, and Christ does what he wants to do because he is good all the time. Yes, he is. So, living in the present moment in grace and mercy, grace and mercy, grace and mercy, mercy and goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. The question is, are we turning back into mercy and goodness and welcoming them every day and saying, good morning, mercy and goodness? Remember, we're not saying, good morning, PhD. Good morning, doctorate. Good morning, master's degree. Good morning, scriptural knowledge. Good morning, Vietnam. No, we're just going, we're turning into it, and we're going, good morning, mercy and goodness. You're following me. And he said those two for a reason. Why? Because they supersede our own reality of what egoic mentality does to us. We're superseding what ego builds for us. We're superseding those things that we think are good and true, when actually they take us into the front spots of the synagogues that make us look good and smell good and sound good. Interesting. You know, there was a day and time when I wanted to sit in the front row, and now I look back and I go, why was I sitting in the front row? Why was I sitting in the front row of anything? The TED Talks, the church service, the classroom, the concert. Why did I want to go and sit in the front row? I think there was a mixture there, to be honest with you. My mixture was, I wanted to see and hear, but then there was a mixture of like, look at me, I'm in the front row. I'm in the front row. And the walls are closing in. Every time I feel like giving up. Shawn Mendes. It isn't in my blood. Yeah. Listen to the song by Shawn Mendes, It Isn't in My Blood. There's a humility there. There's a humility there that says, every time I feel like giving up, it isn't in my blood. But you know what? When you realize how much ego has taken you to the front row, sometimes you're in a war and you say, man, I don't like what I'm seeing in my own soul. I don't like what I'm seeing in myself. And sometimes I want to give up. But it isn't in my blood. It isn't in, it isn't in his blood. And therefore, if it isn't in his blood, it isn't in our blood, because we're one with that blood. So we're living in an interesting time, folks. We're living in an interesting time, and a most exciting time. I've never been more excited to be alive than right now. I'm serious. The excitement is when you become aware that it is about living in the moment, in the present. You have nothing but joy. But again, it's a discipline. It's a training of the mind. It's a training of the thoughts. It's a training of the soul to say, hey, stay in the moment. State. It's like the Gladiator. If you've seen Gladiator movie, and he's in the front. He's in the front with all of his men, and the men are trying to get ahead of him, right? And he's like, guys, I've been getting bloody in the trenches with you. We've been battling it out together. We've been brothers. We're closer than a brother together, because guys, you can't go through this and not be. So stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Closer than a brother, stay with me. Don't get ahead, not because I'm trying to control anything, but don't get ahead. We need to do this together as a matrix, not a hierarchy. Oh man, that is a word for somebody. Oh my goodness. It is a matrix. The matrix is a documentary, not a movie. It's a documentary of our lives weaving in together as one and not trying to build a pyramid of something of an expression of our past trauma, of our past accolades, of our past education. But it's a matrix of oneness saying, guys, I am not all that in a bag of chips and neither are you. We are doing this together rhythmically and organically and harmonically so that we can move together as one. And not as one into a seven mountain sense. Although I'm not bashing that, I'm saying they are where they are. But I'm anchoring light at a higher dimension, saying that I'm at the bottom of the mountain going like this. I've inverted that mountain. You can climb to the top of that hierarchy all you want, and that's fine. God still loves you, but I want to do the inverted mountain down here. So I'm at the bottom down here, waiting for people to slide down out of their own self-effort and their stress and their trauma and their religious education building, and they slide down so that we can hold each other's hands up and say, V is for victory. Hello. Oh, man. Jesus. You know what? Amy and I were talking about this earlier. And I know some of you feel the same way, if not all of you. I want to make Jesus so like we know him to be internally, right? He's the fun-loving, ecstatic, joy-filled, laughing hysterically, fun-loving. I am wrapping myself around every bit of your humanity and I don't hold anything against you. Jesus, that's the Jesus I know. That's the Jesus you know internally. We may have been built up with some stuff by living in the future or the past, but we know in the present moment, Jesus is like that. Writing a book, so you guys know this, I'm writing a book called Effortless Provision, and I can't get past this one part. I keep going back and looking at this and examining this one part where he's taking me on a full-blown encounter every time I sit down to write with him, and it takes me right into the heart of humanity, and there's four chambers of the heart, and one of the chambers that I'm in right now is dropping down from Mount Heaven. He calls it Mount Heaven. And I'm at the top looking over in this cascading view of humanity. And we're about ready to drop into Eden, the presence of who he is, the atmosphere of who he is. And then it goes into the center of the heart. Well, I'm on top of Mount Zion and we're getting ready to slide down this beautiful, red, fun, adventurous slide. And we jump in and he goes first and I'm right behind him and he waves his hands in the air like he just don't care kind of thing. And he even says that in the book. And I'm behind him and I'm losing it because I'm laughing and I'm crying with guttural cries and guttural laughs. And I'm going, this is the Jesus I know. This is the Jesus I know to be true. He is fun-loving. He's adventurous. And he loves to be with me in all of my humanity. And he loves to be with you in all of your humanity. And so I'm just riding, sliding down the slide, and he's waving his hands in the air and like a roller coaster. And I am behind him just smelling his fragrance. And I'm going, oh, Lord, this is so far from religion. This is so different than religion. This is so different from education. This is so far removed from anything we've ever been taught or everything we've ever known. It's the Jesus that you fell in love with. It's the Jesus I fell in love with. It's the Jesus that knows every ounce of every cell of your being, and he likes it. He not only loves you, but he likes you. Oh, it's powerful, but that was all in the moment. That was all living in the moment. See, that whole slide ride is living in the moment. See, our children, let's go back to children. Friends, when we become like children, we only know one thing, and that's to live in the present moment, to live in the now. Do you ever notice that a toddler or a child that's 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, they don't think about what their education is going to be in high school. They don't think about what they're going to do in college. Most don't. Maybe if they're a prodigy, they do. But most don't. They think about having fun. They think about, where can I have fun right now with my little toys? Where can I have fun in the park today? Where can I have fun by, oh, we're going to Disneyland? Disneyland is open. Disney World is open. OMG. I want to go now. Because the only thing I know is play. The only thing I know is presence. The only thing I know how to do is living in the moment. Why would Jesus himself say, become like little children? Little children don't have doctorate degrees. Little children know the doctorate degree or the PhD of the playfulness of Jesus in a now reality. That's what a child knows. Child knows what love looks like when they jump into a playground. A child knows what love looks like when they stuff their face with a cake, an organic one. But a little child knows what it means to play with their best friend, Susie or Johnny, in the moment. See, we've been so puffed up through revelation and knowledge and understanding that we don't know how to be playful like a child anymore, living in the present moment. In the present moment, there is an unending, an unsearchable, an eternal grace and a mercy that we've always known to be true, but we've never applied to our lives or allowed in. See, when we don't have resistance in our lives, we throw up resistance by all of our knowledge. See, we put up resistance because they're like, well, wait a minute. If I do X, Y, and Z, then I get the job. If I do 1 + 2 + 3, then I get the money. If I do this formula, if I quote this scripture just right, if I decree something out loud, if I throw knowledge at it, if I apply my learned wisdom to something, then I have an outcome. Did you ever notice that pure spirit has none of that attached to it? Living in pure spirit in the moment has none of those formulaic things in its presence. Pure spirit says, I want you to live in the moment, and the next impulse is where I'm headed. The next prompt, the next lead is where I'm going. And so therefore, it is not by sight, but it's by faith, because you would have an inner knowing of where I'm headed in the next moment. We are so good at, and we want to know the next year's plan, the next 3 years, the next 4 years, the next 5 years. 3 years from now, I'm going to do this. 4 years from now, this business is going to thrive. 5 years from now, I'm going to be noticed because I'll have 1 million likes on Facebook. 2 moments from now, I don't know what's going to happen. Here's the flip side. 2 moments from now, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm excited because I know that he has the next breath and he has the next moment. That is so hard for some of y'all. It's been hard for me, but I've learned to live in the moment of this reality, to say, okay, I don't have a business plan. I don't have a plan. If you say to yourself, if you say this year, next year, I'm going to be in this city or that city. Don't say that. What did he say? Don't say that. Why? Because he doesn't live in the future. He can, but he doesn't. He makes himself present and known inside of you and me right here, right now. Your life is like a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. Why is it gone tomorrow? Because it's not supposed to appear there until you get to tomorrow. Oh, man. Wow. That was something that you said in the moment. That is, wow. Jesus, that was good. Man. Whew, that was a growth moment for me right there. The more present we are, guys, the more accurate we are. The more present we are, the more you have something to say. because it's Jesus saying it through your skin, and you're coupling and you're joining together and you're becoming one in partnership. See, it's not just that you lead the show or lead the way in your own personality or what you have by your learned knowledge and what you have to say. And that's good. That's fine in universities and things. But when we live in a God reality, when we live in a Christ moment, when we live in a now thing, then when Christ speaks through us, he partners with our vocal cords to say, ooh, I want to drop something, but I need somebody pliable enough. I need somebody open enough and unedumacated enough to be able to filter through that learned tree of knowledge experience to be able to drop a bomb when they need it, right? Jesus fell asleep in the boat. That was a God reality. That was a God reality. That was a God moment that checked the fear that's resident and intertwined with the tree of knowledge educated system inside the psyche of the disciples. Remember, they were unlearned and untrained men, but they knew about Torah. Okay? They knew about the law. They understood it from their time frame of existence in the moment. By the Roman Empire, by the Jewish schools of accolades. And they're standing there going, wait a minute, this is something we haven't experienced before. And if we don't pay attention to this, we're going to live in the fear of the education of what we grew up with. Doesn't necessarily mean university or synagogue education all the time. It means that I was educated and trained by a mind growing up that told me that this is what it was. If somebody falls asleep in the midst of a storm and is trying to paddle their way out or swim their way out or fortify themselves and their boat and their ship to help us get out of the situation, then we are hosed. So Jesus falls asleep in the boat for a reason. He's saying, guys, this is the moment we're in right now. If you just release yourself to non-resistance, and sleeping is non-resistance, then it will be pliable enough to draw safety to you and cast you onto the other side, onto the shore. If there's resistance involved, it means that fear is present, and that it means stuff is going to start breaking down and the ship will break apart. You know what I'm saying? The ship will begin. Some of you all have been so embedded in fear and in future tense activities or wanting to get out of the past that your ship is breaking apart. Now, if you don't want your ship to sink and you to go down with it, then what I would suggest is to go to sleep and let non-resistance take over. John, that's doing nothing. I'm going to go to sleep? What do you mean? If I go to sleep, then if I help myself, God will help me. If I quote all the right scripts, what are you talking about? If I do that, then I'm going to go to sleep. That's lazy. What are you talking? Do you understand what I'm saying? Go to sleep in faith. Meaning that I'm going to drop into 18 inches down into the non-resistance of faith that has flow. And when flow is present, that means you're relaxed enough to allow stuff to come into your life of a God meaning. Of a God blessing, of a God safety, of a God rescue, of a God security. Anytime we resist by effort, that means we're pushing his help away. We are pushing the blessing out. And it hovers because his mercy is always new in the morning and his mercy is always present. But it hovers. And it waits for us to release into surrender and letting go to the point where we're in a flow of non-resistance. And when that happens, then it begins to attach itself to us. You ever notice that when you walk through a field and it's springtime, you walk through a field of flowers or you walk through a orchard, and if you just the breeze of your body or a slight breeze in the atmosphere will begin to blow pollen up. You ever seen that? Where the pollen just floats up in the air and it hovers. What happens when you stop and you release from the non-resistance and you just stand there and take it in? It begins to settle back down upon your life. And that's what living in the present moment looks like. It looks like to the natural mind and the natural world like nothing is happening. But trust me, friends, when you still yourself in His presence and you become one with the present moment, you become one with the now, and you discipline yourself, you train your mind to do that each and every day. Maybe it's a half hour, maybe it's an hour. Hopefully it's more as time goes on, right? But there's no condemnation if there's not. When you do that, then things begin to ignite, because now faith casts itself out in the atmosphere mixed with joy. And then joy sends the signal to say, hey, boys, hey, friends, come on in, blessings. Come on in, deliverance. Come on in, freedom. Come on in, and, divine appointments and all the rest, so that we can move together and move forward in peace, trust, and rest. Remember, Hebrews 4 says that they didn't enter in because of, they didn't enter into the rest of God. The soul rest, but then the rest of the totality of God, the deeper things, because they didn't know how to enter in by faith and not by sight. And faith is not, guys, this isn't complicated. Faith is not one of these things that you have to strum up or work up or know enough scripture for. Because if that was the case, Abraham didn't have any scripture, and Abraham would have had to have master's degrees and PhDs and theologies to be able to couple with his faith. In the modern world today, we would have told Abraham to say, hey, look, dude, you got to get more educated here, pal, in order for you to be the friend of God and to have faith that was accounted to you in alignment of the image that you are in Christ Jesus. So you would have... Dude, you don't have script. You got issues. Man, dude, demons are going to come and flood your soul, Abraham. You better get delivered. In fact, I'm going to send forth my Sozo deliverance ministry upon thee to take care of you right now. Listen, we're living in a new space and time that says, the more I become present, the more intelligent I am. The more present I become, the more revelation I have. The more present I become, the more childlike I am. And therefore, I don't need all of this peripheral formulaic stuff to shape my life. All that's necessary is for me to be in the moment playing playfully with the playful, non-religious Jesus inside of me. Living in the present moment, there's nothing more intoxicating. Why? Because there's no issues right now, guys. There's no issues. There is no issues right now when you live in the moment. There, you don't have any issues. You don't have any problems. You don't have any worries or fears. So, live in the moment. It's the most beautiful thing in the entire cosmos. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you for listening by podcast. And we will chat soon. Thank you.